You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
I found the music that Tiger Woods can play when he brings out the Rolodex. Keith, play the ceremonial music.
So, for those of you wondering what we're referencing here, Tiger Woods is on fire at the Tour Championship, and he looks jacked. He's in shape.
He does look in really good shape.
He's got the backwards hat and the Oakley glasses going, which is old school.
He's
got
to go Messier, though. The hair is starting to creep back.
Yeah, I mean, he's mid-40s. He's a dad, and yeah. He's got...
We can do a top 10 gotta go Messier up top list, and I know who is number... Anyway, back to Tiger Woods.
Who's number one? You gotta say it now.
Todd Reirden, the coach of the Washington... I have a pick.
Washington Capitals.
That will blow your ass off.
Todd Reirden.
Todd Reirden. I played with him in St. Louis. He's now the head coach of the Washington Capitals.
No, don't even look on him. I'm going to show you right now.
I haven't seen his dome in a while.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
Feast your eyes.
He's a great guy, though.
Todd Reirden, welcome to the NHL.
I played with him in St. Louis.
You've got to go Messier up top.
It's just random bacon strips.
It is.
I was not aware of that. I forgot he's the new coach now.
My old teammate texted me last night, and he goes, any thoughts on Reirden going Messier up top? I go, number one on the list.
Ahead of Tiger?
He is in the power rankings.
Yeah.
7-Eleven power rankings going Messier up top.
We have to do a top five.
Todd Reirden. Why don't we just let the fans do it? Send us the top 10 Messier up top candidates. Tiger Woods is in it. Todd Reirden's in it.
Do you do sports then? You want to just do sports?
I think you can just leave it open.
Yeah, I guess anything. Anyone within society. Don't send us a picture of your wife or husband or boss or something like that.
Right.
But, you know, a public figure that people would be aware of. But we're talking about Tiger because he's 5-under.
And he looks great.
He looks great. Eagles 18. He's in the lead at the Tour Championship.
Did you hear Tiger when he got all jammed up with the cops? He's like, color's your hair? And he's like, brown. Balding. He just had to throw that in there when he was all jacked up in the police station.
That seems like years ago, and it wasn't that long ago.
How long ago was that? Four or five years?
No, less than a year.
Wasn't it a year and a half ago?
I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe. Maybe a year and a half.
Where he was was he driving or fell asleep at the wheel at 4 o'clock in the morning?
I think he fell asleep at the wheel. I think the cops pulled up, and he was
passed
on the curb or on the shoulder.
We got distracted. Can we play a little bit of the music again, Keith?
Okay, but we got to explain the meaning of this.
Just keep playing it, and I'll explain. This is the ceremonial music because we talked about him being jacked, and maybe he's got the Rolodex out. And this would be the ceremonial tune when he cracked open that Rolodex and got back into the numbers.
Right.
He's back in the game.
I think so. I think there's a direct correlation between him performing on the course again and what may or may not be happening off the course. I think he knocked the dust off the Rolodex, and he's back
he's allowed
at Perkins
to, if he's single. Is he single or no?
By all accounts, he's single.
He's an adult.
Well, he's with Lindsey Vonn for a long time, who I think is with PK now.
I think they're still together. But yeah, so Tiger...
My golf connections tell me that he was with Lindsey Vonn, and he was up to no good. He got in
some trouble?
Yeah, he was sniffing around some stuff that wasn't...
It's tough to teach an old dog new tricks.
Lindsey, are you shocked?
Good on him, though. I mean, Tiger, regardless of... I mean, being singles, you can do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. He didn't break any laws. It just... From a moral standpoint, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Leafs off today. They're back in action tomorrow. They still have six more preseason games. It is just ludicrous.
Let me ask you this. It was nice to see Tavares score the other night. It was nice to see Matthews and Marlowe and Ennis. Ennis, I thought, got better as the game went on. He had a couple of real nice plays. But preseason games have stunk so far. Like, all of them.
It's garbage.
I've watched... You know, Calgary, Edmonton, I watched Winnipeg play the other day, Minnesota. Like a lot of them, and I know it's young kids playing and teams, but it's almost like, Brian, you said, fans are paying to be there, but even the fans are like, let's go, let's get on with
well,
this.
Well, that's what...
I would say a lot of fans have walked out saying, maybe that was my first... that was not enjoyable. Brutal exhibition games.
I
watched Calgary-Vancouver last night, and I'm like... Isn't there a rule you got to have eight veterans? I don't see eight good players.
Well, no,
out
they
here.
Waived that rule because Calgary was in China.
So the whole league has waived the rule?
No. Just for them and for Boston. Like Boston was over there too, right?
Oh, but Vancouver's lineup was just.
But that's what you get in the preseason. Now, I think you got to be careful here. We live in a different world because we have access to games. I mean, Noodles, you're in between the benches.
Yeah.
People that never go to games, the fact that Matthews was playing last night, that would have been a cool experience. If you live in the Ottawa area, even though it wasn't the greatest night,
yeah.
Bring your kids down. It's hopefully on the cheap. He scores a goal. But.
Yeah, right.
This is a constant conversation in the NHL and even more prevalent in the NFL, what they should do with the preseason. Because the Rams, Jared Goff...
sorry.
What happened in this
Somebody
room?
Sent us
he
a picture.
Fired
of...
this to me of Shattenkirk mid...
I'm sorry.
On that...
That's so...
I couldn't... I'm sorry, Brian. I had to laugh.
Yeah, that's unprofessional, but it's valid.
It is, right?
Shattenkirk's...
What is that? A little like, do you call that a tuft?
Yeah.
That's Iafredi.
That is a tuft. I took a picture of Al Iafredi the other day. Leafs TV was showing him that guy's hairstyle. Nothing has ever, I've never seen anything like it.
You mean back in the day?
Like when he was with Washington. Like,
reverse monkey bum with the skullet rat tail.
It like wrapped around his head.
I'm hoping I
it
didn't
was Big
it.
Earn from Kingpin. That's what it was.
Oh, I deleted the picture. Uh-huh. I might be able to find it.
Well,
but...
Marcy just broke up our conversation sending that to us.
Don't send us that kind of stuff.
Well, that was awesome. But
I think
getting back to
what was I even talking
about? You were talking
about
the preseason.
And, Jared Goff and Todd Gurley didn't take a snap in the preseason. The Rams are 2-0.
Right.
They
look at
great.
The NHL, dude. Have you seen Sid the Kid highlight?
That's what I'm saying. Like, when does it get to a point, and it's on the NHL, they sell tickets, they charge people to show up.
Right.
And this is what, again, I took umbrage with the issue last night, with the Domi and Ekblad stuff, regardless of what actually took place. This mentality that, hey, it's an exhibition game, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
If you're going to charge people, and they're going to play, then play with some sort of intensity.
And
because if they're going to mail it in...
Do you want intensity, Brian? Have four exhibition games. There's your intensity.
Let people show up for free then. Like, yeah. If it's basically a scrimmage and no one can hit, no one can do anything, then open the doors like it's an open practice and let people pour in.
It's revenue,
but they want to make money.
It is. It's
they
revenue.
Want to make money. I'm surprised the Leafs still play 8 preseason games. I don't know if it's a TV obligation, a radio obligation. I don't know. I absolutely believe they used to do it because they knew the revenue wasn't coming in April and May.
Right.
So they sat there and said, you know what, let's load up on preseason games, make some money because this team's brutal and we're not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now that that's not the case, and they've been in the playoffs the past 2 years, and they should be in a window here to go to the playoffs a lot in the next 5 to 7 years,
yeah.
Why are you still playing 8 preseason games?
Well, I mean, it's...
What's the explanation?
The league mandate, I would think.
But they're the only team that does that. I don't think other teams play 8 preseason games.
I would have to go through. But by all accounts, Montreal plays 7 because I think they've played 1 or 2 already, and Domi's been suspended for the next 5. So there's, I think it's 7 or 8, Brian. And I think it trickles right through the league. And depending on maybe scheduling, I don't know if Calgary's going to get a little bit less because they went and played 2 over in China and come back and get a little bit of rest. But... Well, they had a split squad game, so who knows? I look at it, and it is an opportunity for evaluation, but it comes down to, and I say this all the time, I'm all about health for players. I hate seeing if there's a potential injury in preseason. I mean, I was even barking about it when guys went to the Olympics and stuff. You never want to see... Was it John Tavares that got injured in... When
in
was
the
it?
Olympics in 2014.
2014.
He now, didn't play again the rest of the year.
And it just, those things bother me because the game means so much now to fans. And I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, like, you know, knock on wood, I want them to have health. I want them to have the year that everyone expects them to have. But you know, they got to go through the process. All I could think about last night is, like, you know, Austin Matthews, he's battling in the corner with, you know, a guy who's not going to make the team in Ottawa. And it you know, you bend your leg the wrong. And you can't bubble wrap people. But it just, that's why I want to fast forward the preseason and just get going. Like, McDavid, I think, is playing his first game tonight against Winnipeg.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing about Nylander. Everyone's wondering, if he doesn't get in games, is it going to affect anything?
That's all I don't would know. Do. I would have the guys go through their paces and make sure they're working hard. And last two games, fire it up, and then we're ready to go. I don't want my stars getting hurt. I don't want them. But I want to, like, I'm watching now. I'm like, come on, man. These lineups?
Well, it's because it's so early, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really
this
early.
Time next week, they'll shave it down to 30 players.
And we'll be seeing better games. Like, the quality of the games, it's very sloppy. Like, the first game in, was it Luka?
Lukin.
Like, that, the ice looked terrible. The rink looked like a shoebox. And it just,
wow, come on, those people got awarded a nice thing.
It's a junior
rink.
It was awesome.
And I was happy for the town.
Awesome.
For the town.
You just carved it, and then you're like, oh, it was great.
For the town, absolutely. Sitting at home watching that, did you think that was awesome to watch?
No, the angles, it was...
It was tough for the camera angles. You could tell that the ice was battling around. But, for that town, absolutely. So, the whole town was there, and they absorbed it. I even talked to some Leaf brass last night that thought it was awesome because it was the whole town embraced and they got an opportunity to get out there. But I'm just saying, from a fan's perspective, like, that's a tough watch. And then the next night, I'm in Ottawa last night. Like, the pace wasn't high, not a lot of crisp passes. You know, like,
well, that's the way it's going to be.
It's early on.
You either get rid of them or this is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've had a build up for something. You want to get to it?
Yeah, so we've had the hotline open all week, and the phone number is 416-384-3877. If you call in, you can leave your name, where you're from. You don't even have to do that. And if we play your call, we appreciate you calling in. If we don't get to it, we might get to it down the road. We're getting a lot of people leaving messages. But the reasoning behind this was, we want to be interactive with people. I think we're pretty good with tweets coming in and texts coming in and emails coming in.
Yep.
But we don't take a ton of calls, and we will in the future. But if you're a grit grinder that listens to the show and you live in Scarborough or downtown or Orangeville or Sudbury or Vancouver or
right.
Quebec City, we had a guy call in the other day from Seoul, South Korea, which was very, very cool. Shout out.
That's awesome.
That's what we're looking for. Not a guy who has a corner desk
12
down the
feet
hall.
Away, 12 feet away from us.
Joe from the Bridge, it took him about 4 days to finally say, I'm calling in. And I don't know if he had to muster up some sort of courage or what. Or I'll bet you he was fighting it. I'll bet you he wanted to call in over the weekend. And he's like, that'll be a little bit ridiculous. I work with these guys. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the new hotline to actual, you know, listeners and people that aren't employed by TSN. But Joe from the Bridge decided, I got to call in. You want to hear it?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Hey, boys. Joe from Woodbridge here. Longtime listener, first-time caller. And yes, it's the real Joe from the Bridge. I just got a few things that I want to get off my chest here. First, Nylander. His ask is ridiculous. Anywhere from 6 to 6.5 on a 6 to 8 year deal is good enough. The cap went up 6% from last year when Ehlers and Pasternak signed their extensions. He's not as good as Pasternak and maybe better than Ehlers. Second, with Dermott hurt, that leaves 2 spots open on the defensive core for now. If I was Carrick, who's the vet of this group outside, on the outside looking in, I'd be worried. I know it's only 2 preseason games in, but Rosen, Hall, Borgman, Odogunov have really impressed me so far through 2 games. And lastly, just want to clear up the confusion about my best summer of my life tweet. Only reason why Tavares came first was because it came first. Chronological order, I swear. And as for the wedding itself, it had one Leaf-related thing. We walked into the banquet hall as Mr. and Mrs. to the Leaf goal song. Only fitting, eh? Since I scored myself a keeper.
There's Joe from the Bridge. All right, so you got your time on the show. You're wasting precious, you know, material here.
And 90 seconds.
Right, and you're taking up gigs in terms of the amount of voicemails we can receive.
Yeah.
I liked what he had to say, though. You got to admit, he had some valid points.
Well, no, first of all, he didn't, because he says that Nylander's ask is outrageous. No one knows what his ask is.
Yeah.
So Joe from the Bridge knows what he's asking for.
If Nylander's ask is 8 or 8.5, that's what he's referring to.
Okay.
Okay.
If that's the case, then you make a valid point, Joe from the Bridge. Determining the defensive pairings after two preseason games, I think, is a little bit premature.
And I thought Dermott was back skating today.
He's not on it. I think he's on his own, though.
Yeah, but he had the day off, so.
The Bridge was saying Carrick is the guy who has to concern himself, and I think there's validity to that, but I don't think it's based on what we saw in Lucan and in Ottawa.
Right.
And, you know, the chronological order where he said greatest summer of his life, and he referenced Tavares signing before his own wedding, I guess I'll grant him that. And other than that, other than that, we don't really care. But shout out to Joe from the Bridge. As for Nylander, you know, Babcock was talking about him, I think last night or today. You know, camp is passing him by and guys are looking good. And, listen, Babcock's going to use the media to get a message out. He's representing the team. He wants the team to win the negotiation and get Nylander into camp. But Babcock's also a pretty smart guy. Tyler Ennis is not taking William Nylander's spot. The second Nylander signs, Nylander is back where he's supposed to be. Especially if they hand him a 6 or 8 year deal. They're not going to give him 6 years at $6 million and be like, sorry, man, fourth line, fight it out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's a core piece that will get back there. It's just, I don't think Tyler Ennis hurt his chances to make the team farther down in the lineup. He looked good, and he had two goals, and one was a laser beam, nice turnover through the middle, and the other one was an empty netter that, you know, Marlowe did a lot of the work on the play. But I think it's a nice story. It's a nice signing. It's a low-value signing and low-impact signing. If he doesn't work out, you send him to the Marlies.
Yeah, he's a depth guy. I expect.
But I think he's a guy who could help your fourth line if he makes a team. He's a nifty little player. He's 320 goal seasons in his career. Like, it's not like he's a
He's a legit a NHL player.
Yeah, he
for
is.
Sure. Yeah, but he's not William Nylander. And
he's
Babcock
not pushing William Nylander out there, but he's getting every opportunity because I guarantee you Babcock just wanted to put some skill guys with Austin Matthews. So you got Patrick Marleau that you're looking to develop chemistry, and you're not going to throw one of the incumbents up there. Like if Kapanen... To me, I think Kapanen may be a guy that Babcock has circled and said, I'm going to be hard on this guy. I want to see more out of him. And I'm going to give him a little bit of what I gave to William Nylander and Mitch Marner early in their careers, push him and see where he can get to. So you're not going to reward, for lack of better words, Kapanen playing with Austin Matthews right away. You're going to let him and Janssen and, you know, who else, Par Lindholm, try and develop some chemistry, and that's maybe your third line there.
Ian O'Connor will join us in about 12, 15 minutes. New book out on Bill Belichick. You want to hear another random caller into the hotline? This one went well off the script. This is closer to that than Joe from the Bridge.
Just wanted to get your take on something. In the office today, there was a heated debate on this topic. When you guys are in the privacy of your own home, do you sit or do you stand when you take a leak?
Shout out to Mike, I believe.
I'm not shy to sit. I'm not shy if I'm tired.
Why would you sit?
Dude, it's just more comfortable.
Yeah. It's more energy. You guys are admitting that you actually sit down.
If I'm lazy, I'll take a seat.
And then just stay there for a while?
Yeah, you usually have your phone with you, like you're scrolling through things.
Honestly, this is one of the most ridiculous takes I've ever heard. I don't understand it. Unless you're so hungover or something.
Do you stand or sit?
I stand
when
all the time.
When you wipe.
Dude, I'm not getting into all of that in those conversations.
Stand?
What do you mean stand?
There's
you're
a standing,
stand up?
I'm aware of a
There's
standing
a stand and wipe?
Standing routine. Yeah, you can stand.
I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of that?
It's what, effective. Stand up and...
It's effective.
Oh, it's effective, yeah.
So you promote it, is what you're saying.
I strongly promote a stand.
You're a strong advocate
Get
for that
horizontal.
Type
horizontal. No, vertical. Get vertical and wipe.
The lay down horizontal would be an interesting move. Imagine your wife walked in.
Yeah, your roasted turkey wiping. She would pass out and divorce your ass.
Imagine your wife walked in and you're laying on the ground.
Yeah, roasted turkey with a wipe, a reverse wipe. All right, we got
anyway. Yeah. I shouldn't have played that. I wasn't expecting it to get off the rails. I'm trying to give, you know, an indication of what kind of calls we're getting. We're getting dozens and dozens. That's some of them are hot takes, some of them are just completely ridiculous.
So, let's play some more.
Well, that we'll look into it later in the hour.
Yeah, we got to start going through them.
Yeah, we should be vetting these a little bit closer.
And we need to get some more feedback from the fans. The top 10 list going Messier up top.
Well, we've got somebody sent in a Ron Jeremy picture.
Yeah, that's probably
Ron
true.
A little thin.
Yeah.
That might cost him a career.
But the Shattenkirk one, that is something else.
It's incriminating.
Well, I think he changed his look.
He did go
Messier, I think this was a while back.
Yeah, I think that's probably unfair to him because he went Messier over the summer.
Like
I know.
Yeah, I'd like to see his look, his media shots this year for the Rangers.
Bob McKenzie in about an hour on Max Domi being suspended for the rest of the preseason, but no regular season games based on what went down last night at the Bell Center. He popped Aaron Ekblad and the whole league is kind of buzzing about it. We'll get back into the Leafs last night, back into the Thursday night or this evening. The Jays at home, final homestand of the year. Russell Martin finally speaking with the media yesterday. He hasn't played in a game since like September 3rd. The guy's owed $20 million next year. He's just a bench guy. And I understand because the kids are playing, but I can't imagine he's happy about it. And we'll get into that conversation a little bit later on. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Belichick, the making of the greatest football coach of all time, interviewed something like 350 people on the legacy of Belichick, his relationship with Brady, Robert Kraft, a lot of different things going on in this book. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with him. I just heard you sneeze. I don't know if I've ever heard you sneeze, but that was an aggressive sneeze. And I got into an argument a couple of weeks ago.
Have you ever had, when I sneeze, I don't know if anybody else has it, when I sneeze, I'll sneeze sometimes like 10 times in a row.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I was going to ask this question because I am a violent sneezer, obnoxiously loud.
Do you yell kind of?
It's like a yelling sneeze.
You follow through.
Yes, it's a follow through, and I understand that it bothers a lot of people that are around.
My brother does a trick where he can hold the sneeze in and stop. If I tried that, dude, there would be snot all over your computer, your face.
Why would you want to do that anyway?
I don't know.
That's not healthy. You don't want to hold in a sneeze.
No.
But what's more annoying to be around? Someone with an obnoxiously loud sneeze, mm-hmm. or the serial sneezer, someone that sneezes like 6-7 times in a row and won't stop.
Serial.
I think the serial one, but I've never been around somebody who sneezes like 10 times in a row.
You've never witnessed that before?
I could do a 10 spot.
You get someone with bad allergies and they can't stop. It's so annoying.
It is annoying.
And it's a bodily function. They can't really control it, but you look at the person and you're like, can you please stop?
I don't know if this is fake news or not, but I always heard that doesn't your heart stop when you sneeze?
I never heard that.
That's garbage.
I heard that if you hold your eyes open somehow, they'll blow right out of the socket if you sneeze.
Really?
It's impossible for you to keep your eyes open if you sneeze.
That I hadn't heard of.
That, I believe, is real news.
I want to test that theory if it's fake news or whatever about the heart stoppage thing.
Probably not a good idea for you to be
the
guinea pig on that experiment.
No, I don't. I just want to know if, I'm sure a doctor listens to us. Maybe, I don't think it's
right. Shoot us a note.
I don't think it's right, but I remember thinking that every time I sneeze, I get all worried about, what's going on down there.
We'll
be all right.
Hopefully, we're going to be okay. Ian O'Connor in a moment. So, there's a lot of different things coming out of this book, including that Brady would love a divorce of Belichick, and simply just based on time. They've been married for 18 years.
Right.
Belichick is crusty all the time. He never compliments anybody, including Brady. And I guess Brady finally has just hit a point where he's like, I would prefer not to be around this guy, but he's self-aware enough to realize he needs Belichick.
Sure.
He understands Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, and it would be a very different operation without him.
Don't they need each other?
I think they do need each other. I mean, that's always been a debate. Who needs each other more? I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. They both need each other. They're both connected at the hip. But I believe what also came out of the piece was a number of people within the organization, coaches and management types, that believe upwards of 10 to 15 other quarterbacks could perform to the same level as Brady.
Really?
In Belichick's system, which I find outrageous. And
what's Jimmy G even doing?
Exactly. Although he's not with Belichick. The point would be if Garoppolo was with Belichick, he would be racking up wins and racking up Super Bowls. But I think that's pretty insulting to Tom Brady, and quite frankly, an evaluation that I don't see eye to eye with.
You bring it to hockey. Ken Hitchcock created Vezina finalists.
Didn't win cups, though. Won one cup.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, Pascal Leclerc had 10 shutouts in Columbus one year. Steve Mason won Rookie of the Year. Marty Turco was always, his numbers were always ridiculous.
Eddie Belfour
won a cup. But I'm just saying, like, you look at systems do protect players. Marty Brodeur faced 18 shots a night in Jersey. Like,
that's probably the one to use, is Brodeur. Could another goalie have stepped in there and won three cups and Vezinas and...
Right, when Chris Osgood in Detroit. Like, there was, you know, there's it goes right along.
I think Brodeur's a legitimately great goaltender. Just like I think Brady is a legitimately all-time great quarterback. The book is called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. It's in stores and online later in the month. And here is the author of the book. He's also from ESPN, making his debut on the show. On the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ian O'Connor. How you doing, Ian?
How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. We're really looking forward to having you on here. This book sounds very, very compelling.
And, it says you've interviewed, how many people? Is it upwards of 300 or 300-plus?
Yeah, I interviewed 350 people. I contacted, it had to be at least 500 people to get 350 to talk about me. And Bill Belichick, as the very active head coach of the New England Patriots, is someone who people often hesitate to talk candidly about. He can be a punitive guy at times. So it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears over 3 years to put this piece together, and I was trying to paint a full picture of the human being, and hopefully I pulled it off.
So did you talk to Belichick? Did you reach out to Belichick? Was he involved in any of the interviews?
No, he was not. No, he was the opposite of cooperative, so I guess that would be uncooperative.
Right.
Not only did he not talk, but he also reached out to some people and asked them not to talk. So when I signed up for the project, I suspected that he would not cooperate. I didn't know about him reaching out to others, but that's okay. In some ways, I almost felt like I was a Patriot. I was one of his players because what he does with everyone around him or underneath him is he puts obstacles in their way to try to make them better. And I think the obstacles he put in front of me actually did make me a better reporter. And I had to dig more and find ways around or over those hurdles, and I think I did. I think that he forgot about some people that I reached, and sometimes I almost felt like I was racing against him to get to somebody. And so at the end of the day, I was trying to explain how this person became, in my opinion, the greatest football coach ever, but also I wanted to humanize him. And it's not an easy thing to do when that person does not want to be publicly humanized.
Well, and that's what I think is so fascinating about what you just told us. The book, the title speaks for itself. You're pumping tires to the extreme. You know, the makings of the greatest football coach of all time. If you were writing a piece on me and calling me the greatest radio host of all time, I'd move in with you. I'd be like, this is great. I'll tell you whatever you need to know. But you're suggesting
let me jump in on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I sent a letter to an email to his agent. I had reached out to his agent, Neil Kornreich, a bunch of times. But the last time is, I said, listen, you haven't responded to me, but one last go here. And I want to include as many positive and humanizing anecdotes about your client as possible. And obviously there are controversies in his career that are going to be covered in this book. And that part was not in the email. But I said, I'm sure you know of instances of Bill's generosity and common decency that have not been publicized, and I'm going to get my own on my own, but I'm sure you could add to that list. I'd love to see them, and I'd love to include them in the book. No response. Now, if I asked your agent that question, if I were writing a book about you, and you knew there were a few controversies in your career that needed to be covered, I'm pretty sure your agent would cooperate with me and give me as many positive things as he could think of to counteract that, but I guess in a sense there's a certain honor in the fact that Belichick is not going to go out of his way to make himself look better than people believe he is as a person. But that's not the approach I think most people would take.
We're chatting with Ian O'Connor. He's got a new book out later in the month, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time.
And Ian, in the book, you're referring to Tom Brady and the relationship with Belichick as Brady is basically fed up with him. I think what are you saying, that he puts up with him just because he's a great coach, but if it was a marriage, they'd probably want a divorce? Where do you get that information from?
By the way, the book is available on Amazon.com right now.
Okay, there
it'll
you go.
Be in bookstores next on Tuesday. But I'm sorry, your question, it was always a transactional relationship. It was based on what you could do for me and what I can do for you, and there was never any love or warmth in that relationship. The relationship where Brady got that human interaction and warmth was with Kraft. They live near each other. They're very close. But with Belichick, it was always about business and winning games. And it was pretty cold. It wasn't freezing cold, but that's the way that relationship worked. And it worked to the extent where it was the greatest partnership, coach-quarterback partnership in the history of the NFL. Last year, it wore Brady down. 17, 18 years of being coached that way, really without much feeling, in a relentless, unforgiving way, it got to him.
And did Brady himself tell you this?
No. I talked to so many people around him, and that's not the kind of thing he's going to say publicly. Although, if you look at his actions and some of his words, he has really said that. You look at some of the social media jabs he took at Belichick after the Super Bowl. You look at 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. 31 showed up for OTAs. One did not. Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the ultimate in the gym first, out of the gym last athlete, and he did not go to. He's the only starting quarterback who did not go to those voluntary workouts. So he said it all with his actions. But I know sources close to him told me in late March, which is getting pretty late, he was not sure he was going to play for Belichick again. And the reason ultimately that he decided that he had to was because he had to. After he compelled them to trade Garoppolo, after talking about playing to age 45 for the last 2-3 years, he could not possibly walk away without getting destroyed by that fan base. So he was locked in. But he was really conflicted about it and most unhappy about the way things went down with his head coach at the end of last season and going into the offseason.
Based on who you've spoken to, do you believe you have a conclusion in terms of the age-old question, or at least it's a recent question, if Robert Kraft, the owner of the Pats, was presented with an option, he had to pick one, Belichick or Brady, based on who you talked to, who do you think Kraft would side with?
I think Kraft would side with Brady simply because of their relationship, and his relationship with Belichick is as almost as transactional as the Brady relationship with Belichick. And I think Robert Kraft, if he's the best owner in the NFL, but if he has a flaw, it is that he loves to be loved. I mean, we all do to a certain extent, but he takes it to an extreme. Tom Brady loves him, and Belichick does not. So he might pick the guy he has the better relationship with and he can live with easier. Sometimes Belichick, over the years, has walked past Kraft in the hallway and not said a word. Now, he does that with everybody, but not everybody is paying him more than $10 million a year. And it's not, he'll be lost in thought, thinking about something in his game plan, and Kraft will walk by. He doesn't want to waste a 3 seconds to make a little passing remark of, hey, Bob, how's it going? So I suspect that even though it might make more sense to keep Belichick long-term, that he would side with his friend Brady.
We're chatting with Ian O'Connor. He's got a new book out. You can find it on Amazon today, in bookstores next week. It's entitled Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. Did you get the sense, in terms of this Belichick versus Brady debate, you know, it's been around forever. Who needs who more? Is Brady just a systems quarterback? Is Belichick so great because he has Brady? In terms of the coaches and maybe the management types, how loyal are they to Belichick in terms of them believing it's really all about him and Brady could, in fact, be replaceable?
Well, I have a quote in the book, and it caught fire, particularly in Boston yesterday, about from an assistant around the time before or right around the time Garoppolo was drafted in the spring of 2014, saying that the coaches believed that Tom was a great player without question, and at that point he had won 3 titles, but it had gone a number of years without winning one, that their system really elevated Brady to an extent, and that they could take the top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL and win with those guys. Now, win at the same level of Brady? He did not say that. And I think the spirit of the quote was, this system can maybe add a championship to a quarterback who's already proven he can win one. For instance, if you had Russell Wilson, maybe he has 2 rings instead of 1. Eli, maybe he's got 3 instead of 2. Phillip Rivers has 1 instead of 0. You start talking in those terms, and I think it makes sense, but that now, if you poll the staff after Brady's won 5 and was the MVP at a ridiculous age, that that sentiment has changed. But it wasn't so much back then years ago a knock on Brady. It was more, hey, this system has meant a lot to not only Tom, but everyone who's passed through this organization. And the coaches really believe in it to the extent where we could win at a high level with the top half of the league at that position.
Based on what you've learned here about Belichick and the New England Patriots way, how do you feel this Josh Gordon scenario is going to play out?
Good question. I think the Patriot way has imposed itself on some players who've come in with some baggage, high-maintenance guys over the years, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, and it's worked out. But they've also brought in some troubled people where it didn't work out. The most extreme example and tragic example is Aaron Hernandez, right, who had a lot of trouble at Florida, and then he turned into what he turned into, a murderer. And nobody could foresee that. But the Patriot way works on certain things and certain people, but not on everyone and everything. And Josh Gordon has an illness. And I know this has been talked a lot about a lot this week, but the Patriot way isn't going to do anything for that. And that's within him and basically whatever counseling he needs. And just on a human level, I hope that, and all of us who've had alcoholism or addiction in our families, you know how destructive it could be for himself and his family. You hope he can stay clean and sober the rest of his career. And then I think his football talent will take care of itself. If he does stay clean and sober, I think he's the most physically talented receiver Belichick has ever had, not named Randy Moss. So that's a long way to, of saying I don't know. But if he can stay on the straight and narrow, he could be, and they need an explosive playmaker at that position, so he could be a really big weapon for them.
The book is called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time, available on Amazon right now and in stores early next week. He is Ian O'Connor, the author of the book and ESPN senior writer as well. Really enjoyed this. Good luck with the book sales, and thank you for doing this, Ian.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
There's Ian O'Connor joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Hurry into Maple Toyota during the Toyota 2018 Clear Out event where you can get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.
I think the guy's great. It was a great interview. The book seems great, but I always ask that question. It's like, you're going to come out with these hot takes. Brady's sick of Belichick. Did he tell you that?
Well, like, he said that he didn't tell him that.
Yeah. Right. Dude, what was it, a friend of his trainer? Or like, that's where it gets cloudy for me.
Right.
Because I know how that game works.
I hear you, and I think he did a pretty good job of explaining how different the book would be.
Right.
If Belichick was involved in it, it would take on a very different scope and a very different feel, you know, where if Brady gives you, Brady's not going to give you that quote anyway. So if you go, even if you call up Brady and be like,
can
you answer this question?
I don't think Brady would tell anybody that.
I'm not convinced of that. I mean, everyone tells somebody something, what they're feeling, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, don't tell anybody. Every time you say that to somebody, you know that they got one person they trust where they tell them.
They do. I mean, you try and keep it within a circle. It's just, my take on it is the minute that these organizations who are dynasties don't win, that's when all the, you know, you lift up the carpet and start pulling stuff out and say, oh, you know, they haven't liked each other in years. A prime example in hockey is Chicago. Quenneville and Bowman don't see eye to eye. They don't like each other and that. Well, they won three cups together in 6 years. So, you know, something works. To me, in New England, it works. But like you say, 18 years and
you're together for a long time. There's ego involved.
There's a lot of different factors in play. But the minute that they start to erode and not win, that's when you're going to see the you-know-what hit.
Exactly. It happens with all walks of life, and it's even more amplified in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know, sports teams, bands, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the Pats are still a really good team.
Yeah,
they're 1-1.
They are.
They're still a really good team. They're in Detroit this weekend. They're going to do really well in this division, but you're right. You know, eventually it's all going to come out. But I think what also becomes clear here, just based on what you just said, though, Brady has become this mythical figure. He's a god in the sporting world. He's on Mount Rushmore already, and he's still playing. He's still just one of the guys in the room.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, yes, he's Brady, and he's been there for 18 years. But he's got buddies on the team that he probably talks to. Probably gets in from practice and talks smack about Belichick to his teammates or to his whole line.
Everybody can sit on the back of the bus and have a beer and say, what the hell is this guy doing?
Exactly.
This guy makes me sick, blah, blah, blah.
Just because he's Tom Brady, the God, doesn't mean he's not human in terms of him talking.
But does this Ian O'Connor mention who said, like...
But that's not the way journalism works.
Yeah, you can't protect.
So you're just, you can hide behind and say, oh, this guy told me that. That means you could just say anything.
What are you, Trump? Like, so that's the way anonymous sources work, though. You can't out the source.
I could write an article and say I talked to 10 different NHL players today and polled them about different players and just make up a bunch of garbage but never talk to anybody.
Well, you could do that.
Yeah, but your credibility would be challenged at some point.
He's got to have receipts.
Right.
He's got receipts. Yeah, you know, like at some point, the publishing house or his editors are going to be like, all right, you know, you don't have to tell me exactly whatever, but you got to show me that you've documented this, that, or the other.
Show me a text from him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Show me do something.
Exactly.
Like, I think there's a lot of validity to it. I mean, your coach and your star player don't have to love each other. Let's look at Babcock and Matthews. They haven't won anything yet. But Babcock had to jump on a plane and now he went and saw Freddie Anderson. He went and saw his star players. But I'm sure there were some things that needed to be ironed out with Austin Matthews. It happens. Like we were just talking about how the difference between the perception of fans and media as opposed to kind of behind the curtain about the Max Domi, Ekblad situation. In all pro sports, like there's bumps in the road. There's things that go on behind the scenes that we don't know and we're not privy to. But, you know, something like this comes out and everyone makes such a big deal about it. Guaranteed they've had FU fights behind closed doors.
Without question. 18 years together
exactly.
Where they both know they've got a ton of power and a ton of security and a ton of money and
but they make
ton
it
of
work
success.
And I'm sure there's a lot of respect between the two of them, too.
I think that became clear here, too. Brady, he may not like him, but he's like, I got to respect
Listen,
this guy. Belichick
exactly.
knows what's up.
This guy delivers.
Bob McKenzie in the next hour and Claude Julien speaking on the Max Domi, Aaron Ekblad situation from last night. We'll tell you what the head coach of the Habs had to say. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
Tiger Woods dialed in. This is what he's going to play in his living room when the Rolodex comes back out. Small ceremony, all the boys around.
Everyone in masks.
Let's go right to pee. Porn. Stars.
I was wondering where you were taking that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is what's going on in Cleveland right now. The Browns win tonight.
Denny's.
No, it's Perkins. He was a Perkins Diners guy. He loved Perkins Diner.
I didn't mind a Perkins once
Dude,
in a while.
I'm not going to lie. Denny's pissed me off the last couple days. I got a Denny's around the corner. I go there and sit at the bar for breakfast every day. How do you run out of peanut butter? I get a little English muffin. I put peanut...
Yeah, that is weird.
Three
for
days
a breakfast
in a row,
spot.
I'm like, you know the little plastic things? That,
yeah.
I'm like, can you fire me? No, don't have it today. The next day, they got it. No.
Well, they haven't got the shipment in. You should probably choose.
How do you you have a breakfast place? You got to have peanut butter.
Yeah, that is weird.
Bring your own.
Come on, Denny's.
Back pocket.
Bob and Kenzie are hockey insider on Max Domi v. Aaron Ekblad. We'll let you hear what the head coach of the Habs had to say about it today. Back into the Leafs last night. Russell Martin not in the lineup again. He hasn't played since early September. We'll get into that conversation as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.